Hello everyone, this is your host Anthony. This episode is the part 2 of my discussions with Mato, and the first 5 minutes is from the previous episode. Enjoy! Yeah, and the next thing is to when we think of, you know, 2023 New Year resolutions, is to think about the Trinity. What we're trying to say is that you need to know 3 things in order to have a very balanced future plan, I would say, or like a meaningful life. The first one is aspiration, like why you are doing that. Second thing, ambitious, how big or what you're actually trying to achieve, right? And the third thing is everyday lives. So everyday life is like what you actually do every day. I mean, should not be the same. Like, I mean, it's not like you are trying to get buff, like 10 push-up every day. It's not like that. When you consider meaning of life or what you want to build, because it's such a long journey that is, and also like we discussed ideas come along all the time, and sometimes new technologies, new tools that could just, you know, push you into another track, then you need another plan. You agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so in regards to tech and pushing you on other tracks, I think that's, at least for me, that's been one of the most clear things I've seen in 2022 and the start of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
In that we've seen a huge upsurge in what AI can do now, both in terms of generating images and text. A lot of other things are going on in AI as well, but not something that I've noticed increased that much, and also that affects every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So especially in my own work, the advancements that have been in image generating AI,
mm-hmm.
Allows me to pursue some of the things that I've been wanting to do for actually half a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can actually begin picking up on all these things, not by having to develop something in myself, but now I have the tools available to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, now can put me on a different track, because I've thought, okay, I actually have to develop these tools to be able to do what I want. Now I have the tools available to me. How can I actually use that? Then I didn't want to create the tools to create the tools. I wanted to create the tools to be able to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can actually begin doing all of the stuff that I've been thinking about. And in regards to how this can be used for, yeah, catching ideas that
mm-hmm.
That just come along when you're doing something else. Many know these as shower thoughts.
Yep.
They come when you don't expect them, and when you're not actually thinking about it, it gives rise to your subconscious to
mm-hmm.
get in contact with your conscious. And I'm studying innovation engineering, and what it's called there in formal terms is called emergent thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not actively working towards a specific goal. You often start with exploring a topic, and then you should actually leave that topic, because now you're brain has begun processing this and begins thinking about it, and now you need a period where you can just let the brain do its thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The brain is not a typewriter or something like that. It goes in all kind of different directions and finds new connections between the stuff you already know, and that's where you have these emerging thoughts that, oh, you connected the dots here. Maybe I should look into this, or this answers one of the problems or one of the questions I've had been having for quite a while.
That is so true.
And these are things that you can plan for, or you can plan for when the answer arrives, or when new questions arise, which can actually be one of the most powerful things, I think, is when new questions arise. Similar to if you try to dig for gold in one area, But then it hits you that, okay, I'm trying to dig for gold. Everyone else is trying to dig for gold. Maybe I should just create shovels instead. Then I don't know that everyone here around me needs a better shovel. Everyone will buy from me, but they're all occupied with finding gold. They just want the tool. Similar to, I don't want to create a an AI tool if someone already created it, because I know what I want to use it for. I don't know, want to recreate the tool that's already there. That's what comes to mind currently.
Yeah, you put it in a very nice way, because when everyone is busy, you know, digging gold, as in like everyone is creating the next AI tools, NFTs, platform, what do they actually need, right? Like, what's their, you can create tools for them, the shuffles, and it, you know, to my mind, I think one of the things non-AI enthusiasts, okay, or like people that don't give a shit about like AI or new technologies, what they are losing are not just opportunities, but the it's just like they miss the interest, you know, the most interesting in the whole humanity, in the whole human race, because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of interesting AI tool startups, whatever, that came up just last year. And it's unimaginable, right? In 2021, nobody saw that coming, honestly, like ChatGPT and all the stuff. Imagine, like, what's the years like ahead, like 2023, 2024, and whether these tools would be useful for your own pursuit, right? Me, you know, I'm doing cell therapy, oncology research, cancer research. How could these new AI tools that came out last year be helpful for my pursuit, right? And if I, let's say I'm not a technical person, I don't write code for my everyday life, instead I read research papers, I analyze, you know, different kinds of cytokines, protein signaling pathway and transcription factors, like basically, you know, studying a new language with a lot of vocabs in a new dictionary. How could these AI tools help me, right? I mean, these kind of applications, if I didn't care about AI, I would just be living in my own box, you know, saying like, nah, I'm just too busy, man. I have to, you know, memorize what IL-6, the cytokine, you know, like what transcription factor IL-6 activate, and then there's IL-12, IL-16, 14, you know, regulatory T cells. So all those, you know, I could be easily overwhelmed. I could easily overwhelm myself and use these overwhelming like materials, context to be an excuse to not to join the ride. And all of a sudden, if I didn't join the ride, then all of a sudden, oh, what kind of these new tools everybody's using? Oh, and then I will be the last one to join the ride, actually, because if you don't join now, you will join later anyways. You know, imagine like the iPhone users, I mean, they're picking up, right? Like they didn't buy the first model, but they bought it like the fifth, the sixth. Same as like bioinformatics or like new like cell therapy. If you don't join the ride in the beginning, you join it in the end. It's just not like, oh, I stay out of the game. I don't think you can, honestly, because we're just too connected at some point, and now we move together. So I would not be surprised that there is like AI, not just like AI in medicine, you know, it's not like that. It must be some new terms. Like AI in cancer research, AI in like molecular biology, right? And there will be new terms coming out, there will be new area of research, more robust, that is just combining these two fields together, basically combining technologies and biology together. I don't see why not. And I study, you know, I read papers in the 1990s, also like 1890s, like research paper, way different. Just look at them, like 1890s, we have the Robert Koch, something like that, you know, the Koch postulate. In immunology, he's like the OG. He's German, Jewish German, I don't know, something like that. And that time, research paper, there's no figure. It's just ton of words, text. And then in like 1990s, a lot of very cool like Japanese scientists in MIT, Harvard, in Tokyo, Kyoto. So all those are also studying immunologies, but now, what did they do? They put more figures, right? But their figures are more like, you know, one variables like X, Y, axis is not like big data. And then move fast forward to like 2016. You know, all the research papers in 2016 are like colorful. And then it's just crazy, crazy like data science. Almost is unimaginable, you know the pace. Oh, not even 2016, I mean 2012 is also like super colorful. And then on the x-axis, it's just like 12 different columns and then, you know, color coding of what kind of genes are expressed in different kind of conditions. And that's just figure 1A, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And you have figure 1B, C, D, F, 2, 3, 4, and with tons of supplementary figures that just couldn't fit into a standard length of a paper. So the information is already robust in 2012, 2016, you know. Imagine bringing this 2012, 2016 colorful research paper back to the Japanese scientists in 1990. They will be like, what the hell? This is like five or six papers. Or they will be like unimaginable, right? If they will be like, no, this is impossible. And bring it to like 1890s, I don't think Robert Koch will understand it too, like, you know. Because he will be like, what? Because they just used one rabbit and they saw something. They already put it in a research paper, you know. And the sample size is one. You just one rabbit, and they don't know how. They didn't know like what happened, but that rabbit seems to be like immunized and not having the disease, diphtheria, something like that, tetanus, diphtheria. So yeah, it's just interesting. Like, if you, I'm saying, as a scientist, you know, just compare papers 100 years ago, 30 years ago, and 20 years ago, you will see the trend. And I mean, not joining the ride or not, you know, knowing AI is just stupid, as if like you're just so very like content and satisfied about, but today, you know.
Yeah, and regards to being content with stuff, it's something that you really feel in software development, because as they say, every month or every week or even every day we get a new JavaScript framework. Which is basically helping or web developers design better apps. But if you have to pick up the new tool every day or every week or even every month, then you will never actually produce anything, because you spend all of the time learning the new tool. But at the same time, if you never learn the new tools, then you're just trying to solve the same problem that has already been solved. Like, yeah, with AI, many of the problems that we see today with, yeah, all of these figures, all of this text, if you can just provide the AI with keywords and tell it in short what you want to explain, and the AI can actually do the communication for you. So, okay, if you want to explain these things, here's how I would explain it. Then you can just adjust afterwards. You don't have to go from a blank canvas. You just adjust where you think it's incorrect or not going enough into depth, or maybe this is irrelevant, which is, yeah, I think software developers really have struggled with this for a long time. So maybe many of the software developers that now feel that they are being pushed out because AI is taking over their job, because one of the fastest advancements that we see in AI currently is actually that AI can begin coding now. So instead of them feeling that, okay, I'm being pushed out in this area, I think they've already developed a very important skill that they constantly need to stay on top of what's going on, but not get caught up in staying on top. Like, you need to have the balance between the two. So I actually think that even if they are, software developers are going to code less because the AI is replacing their job, they've developed a very important skill that they shouldn't take for granted. Now that we see that many others are getting overwhelmed on how do you actually handle tech moving this fast.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then as an example about how this could affect cancer research, one of the things I found interesting with image AI, not just generating images but upscaling images, what we previously saw in series like CSI or something like that, where they say enhance, and then they take a very blurry photo and make it totally sharp, they can see the name of the person, even though that wouldn't be possible. I actually think that we will see something to a similar, to a lower degree, that AI is not just creating its own image, it's actually trying to reconstruct images based on what information is available. Say if you have a purple pixel, then the AI could say, okay, to get this purple color, and based on the context, it's, it would highly likely be blue and red light that caused this pixel to be like this. And in cancer research, the more resolution that you can get on the images, both in terms of identifying does this person have cancer, but also how does this cancer affect the person, because you can suddenly see much more detailed effects on that. So maybe you see some indicators that I don't have that much insight into how cancer research is done or how you identify it, but I guess that if you can see, okay, it's beginning to shape like this, or it seems to be moving in this direction, you get a lot more information which you can get valuable insight from. Just by having this new tool that can say, okay, I have this information, what more information can I provide to this human that's trying to decipher the information? It doesn't have to solve the problem itself, it just needs to be a tool that lets the person solve the problem.
This I want to add on, because we already have AI that beat human on chess games, and they teach themselves.
Yeah.
We don't even know how on earth did they logically deduce such a play, such a move.
Yeah.
Same thing as cancer research. If we pour all the data, as in, you know, blood samples from cancer patients, and then we have different kind of analysis, we can analyze their genomic profile, so all the genes, like whether they are expressed, you know, in different cancer patients, as well as other parameters such as white blood cell, you know, macrophages count, like the counts of that, also like on the protein levels, what kind of protein cytokines are like highly expressed in the bloodstream. We can throw these parameters to the AI, and we will like, and then ask the AI, like, is, I don't know, maybe we'll have 1,000 patients of such records, or like maybe 10,000, we could do it like 100,000, and then we have patient X. What kind of cancer is, you know, this patient X getting, or like what's the lifespan, you know, projected, you know, prognosis, recommended, like medications, therapies.
To add to that, there's been a very recent development in AI that's been very huge for those who I'd say have interest in game theory and why this was a huge milestone. Back in the end of November, DeepMind, one of the companies that have been the world champion in Go, which was previously very difficult to solve, still this, because there's so many moves that you can't simulate the game. You have to basically play on intuition. But here in at the end of November, they managed to rank among the best players in Stratego, which is in some ways very similar to chess and Go, but in the case of Stratego, you don't have all of the information. You're basically playing chess, but where you don't know what pieces the other person has. You can see there's a piece in this place, but you don't know if it's a knight, or if it's the king, or if it's the queen. So in this case, you lack information, but you can make estimates or make educated guesses of what kind of piece is this. And I think we can use that in cancer research and other disease simulation, that maybe we don't know exactly what's affecting it, but we can make educated guesses based on what's happening. And if the way the AI plays in this or when playing Stratego is using a technical term, it's trying to create a Nash equilibrium. So it constantly says if there's two different similar ranking moves, so say these two are equally likely to be played by the user, it just picks from it randomly, so it doesn't reveal any information to the other player. And what I think we can use net for in the case of cancer research is that, okay, these things are probably equally likely to be played, but if the AI can play against the cancer or play as the cancer, then we can say, okay, maybe we are playing Stratego against the cancer. How do we, even with lack of information, how can we optimize our strategy to actually contain the cancer or to fight back against it, even if we don't know exactly what it's going to do? And even when it makes its moves, or whatever you want to call it, we can't be certain that we counter it perfectly. We just need to make sure that then, if we play enough games against it, we have as highest chance to win that game. Maybe some of the things that are difficult to see in how AI is going to affect us, because you need to have those links between the two. Mm-hmm. You need to understand why is it, or how did the AI solve the problem of Stratego, and how can it be used in cancer research. And if you're not staying up to date on that, you would never make that connection that this could be relevant for cancer research, especially because this is in more the technical domain where many say, okay, Stratego is too advanced for me to understand. But if you understand the basic principles of what it actually solved, then I guess it isn't just such a difficult task to say, okay, how could this be applied in my field? Where with ChatGPT, it's more, or the text generating AI, it's more obvious that, okay, it can write for me. So if I'm sending a mail to someone, it could write that mail for me, or it could fill in the journal after this. Yeah, so that's where, as you said, that if we don't stay up to date on these tools, we don't, or we're doing a lot of wasted work that these tools could do for us. Just to put in an example of why even the more advanced tools, if you can try to understand just the basic principles of what that tool solves instead of how it solves it, or the more advanced topics, that can help you see how you can use that technology. But I think you need to know people in that domain that can help explain it to you, because if you have to read all of the papers and then summarize to yourself what's actually going on, then it's very difficult to stay up on the topics, because you need to know the field very well to actually understand what's going on.
Hello everyone, welcome to my podcast. If you like my content, please like, comment, and subscribe.